What shows are you watching right now?
Oh, so did you start recording?
No.
Oh my god. Okay. I've been rewatching. Can you guess?
The Circle.
No.
Três Pacientes.
I was. Yeah, I have a few episodes left from that show. I fucking love that show.
It's like, really good.
It's just so
I don't good. Like the ending, if I'm being honest.
You don't like the ending? Why not?
I don't like that whole... I just, there are so many holes in it for me.
What do you mean?
The whole, like, oh my gosh, and the founders, and they left this ball, and everyone's just going to agree to play this game.
Yeah, but it was sketch. It was sketch. Like, very... the fact that, like... Yeah, like...
I'm like, okay, what? Like,
it is, but I don't know. The energy is just so good, so dramatic with, like, Michelle and her brother.
Okay, but on a less dramatic... Actually, maybe on the same dramatic note, I've been watching Extraordinary Homes.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I mean,
if you grew up, especially in, like, Canada, HGTV...
Canada!
HGTV was, like, this network that
is
just...
Is HGTV not American?
I don't think... I don't know. Anyway, it's this network that, like, always had house shows on, like, buying property or, like, renovating shows or, like, flipping shows. So it was all about houses. Yeah. And this show is giving me very HGTV vibes, so.
Oh, it's not on HGTV.
It's not.
So we're just plugging HGTV.
Okay, let's maybe get into
I'm joking, I didn't know
if
you were
listening,
recording.
You're like, sorry, who are these people? Is this a podcast about TV shows? No.
It's not, actually.
Hi, you are listening to Goats and Oats with your hosts. My name is Jay, pronouns they, them.
I love that. My name is Zipporah, pronouns she, they.
And without further ado, let's get into the episode. Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to a new episode. This is the one about veganism.
I feel like this is way closer to you. This
it's
mic.
Not closer to me. Now it's closer to you.
No, I don't think so.
I'm getting further away from the mic.
All right, I'm going to try to come to y'all with some structure, with some security, some kind of energy where you're like, okay, I get what's going on.
I understand
Let's
the
keep
flow.
Doing this,
I understand
you know?
What's happening, what to expect.
Exactly. So today's episode is the one about veganism.
We have an exciting segment, as you know, new season segment, read the receipt, so get ready for that. But before we get into that, let's just...
do the recipe episode. So if you're new to the podcast, I would recommend listening to the one about how we went vegan. So we talk about sort of our different journeys and what that looked like for us. Today, we wanted to sort of define veganism and all of those little terms in between.
Mm-hmm. Have a more open conversation just about veganism in general as this movement.
Exactly.
And as an ideology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you want to... maybe start with, like, how do we define veganism?
Yes. Yeah, so I define veganism as the divestment, as far as practicable and possible, of the exploitation of animals. And to me...
divestment from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Divestment from the systemic exploitation of animals.
Divesting meaning?
Divesting from their exploitation. So from raising them for food, going to zoos, watching, sort of like going to like SeaWorld or what have you.
So divesting would be not doing these things.
Yes. Okay. Divesting from those activities or like refraining from participating in those systems of exploitation.
Okay.
And as much as practicable and possible. So an example of where it may not be feasible is, let's say, if your medication has animal-derived products and you're not going to go without your medicine in order to label yourself as vegan, that might be an area where it's like, if you don't have a plant-based alternative that is also like accessible to you, then makes sense to you.
Yeah. For example, if you live in a community where you practice subsistence hunting, like, yeah, that's another situation where your survival and your ability to be here on this planet is dependent on this relationship that you have with consuming animal products. Yes. And so you have to understand that there needs to be that intersectional lens applied to veganism, which I think you do have in the definition I just heard.
Yeah, because like for me, the systemically exploiting is a part that would like exempt people who participate in subsistence hunting, right? Yeah. Because that's not systemic exploitation, that is literally survival, right? Yeah. And these are also communities that have been doing this for a long time, so it's not appropriate, I don't think, for non-Indigenous people or people who are not in those predicaments to police what they should and shouldn't do to survive. But yeah, there's that element of like systemic exploitation for me. What's your definition of veganism?
I feel like my definition is kind of always evolving. Yeah, it's more working. Yeah. I think it's like a commitment to learning about the ways in which you participate in systems of exploitation when it comes to human and non-human animals, mm-hmm. and understanding the responsibility you have to meaningfully like not participate that when possible and when feasible, right? Exactly. So I think it's a very similar definition. I just think that for me, a lot of the time, and I think you probably feel the same way too, is that like we're constantly learning mm-hmm. new ways about how we're connected to systems of oppression, yes. and how we're also participants in certain systems, maybe unknowingly.
Yeah.
And I think it's not helpful to have a definition of veganism that doesn't recognize that reality and recognize that like you're not living in a world where you know everything, but the expectation is once you know better to do better.
Yeah.
Right. And to do so in a way that isn't a detriment to your health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Or that of those around you. So I think it might be interesting to see sort of like what the vegan society defines veganism as. So for them, veganism is a philosophy and a way of living which seeks to exclude as far as possible and practicable all forms of exploitation of and cruelty to animals for food, clothing, and or any other purpose, and by extension, promotes the development and use of animal-free alternatives for the benefit of animals, humans, and the environment. In dietary terms, it denotes the practice of dispensing with all products derived wholly or partly from animals. So, pretty lengthy definition.
That was so robotic.
Very robotic, of course, but...
Maybe a dramatic reading would help. Veganism is the philosophy and... I don't have my glasses. Do you want me to zoom in? Yeah, that would be helpful.
I feel like they already heard it once, though. Okay.
Got it.
Maybe we could close off. We'll close off with a dramatic reading of their definition.
Maybe
we
not. No,
we can if you want.
No, I think it's okay.
Okay. Move on. So yeah,
but I think it's interesting. Also, is like in this definition, also in our definitions, I think kind of the language alludes to understanding people's motivations around sort of this participation in exploitation. Does that make sense?
I don't think so, actually. I don't think that this definition really does take...
Maybe ours does.
I think kind of here, because they say, like, promotes the development and use of animal-free alternatives for the benefit of animals, humans, and the environment. So even in here, they're making the difference between, like, animals...
Those are some motivations.
Non-human animals, which I think is interesting to like unpack, but we can talk about that.
But I think that sentence does kind of make it clear, right? It's like you have it here, the benefits for animals or for the environment.
Yeah.
And then they also break it down in terms of dietary concerns, which kind of shows, I mean, maybe our definitions don't talk about the typical motivations people have for going vegan. Or for participating in veganism, but
so I think that like from the three definitions, what you can denote is that there is an aspect of well-being and looking out for the well-being of like animals, and the environment. I feel like that. I don't know the environment. I'm not sure, but like apparently, given this definition, that's like a concern. I think that a lot of people get into veganism for different reasons. So I would say there are like three reasons why someone would go vegan, one being health, one being the environment, and then the other one being ethics. Obviously, there's like a lot of overlap like between them. So I think it's like kind of nonsensical sometimes to be like, what made you go vegan? Like, it's like a variety of things that like interlap. But yeah, I would argue that you can only be vegan for ethical reasons, because technically you could consume a certain amount of animals or participate in a certain like amount of animal exploitation without having a detrimental or like net negative impact on the environment or on your health. So like when, so a lot of studies that have studied like plant-based eating and their optimal, if they're, whether or not they're optimal for health, didn't actually analyze people who were consuming a 100% plant-based diet. There are people who got less than 5% of their like protein from plant-based sources. At least that was the case for like the China study. And so, you know, like you can argue that you can consume small amounts of animal protein without it necessarily like impacting your diet in a negative way. Like the 5% is sort of like where it tips off. And then in terms of the environment, like there are a lot of things that you can do for sustainability. I mean, we can get into that, but yeah, I don't think that it would, whereas if you're in it for moral reasons, there is like never, like there's not a certain amount of exploitation that you're okay with, in my opinion.
No, I definitely, I agree that if you're, if why you're vegan is for the morality of it and for the ethics of it, which I think is ultimately the core of veganism. That's good. That's right. What you should do. But why I think that you have all these kind of like other motivations that you see pop up when it comes to veganism is because it simplifies it for people. It makes it easier to like understand like, okay, I can commit to this one thing because of this like avenue, because of the environmental avenue, because of the dietary avenue. And when you look at like the ethics and sort of morality tied to veganism, it does it then messy. Branch up and open out into these more complex conversations about how, you know, we were talking earlier about how different legacies of systems of oppression and human intervention and I guess exploitation of animal populations, what that looks like for us now being born here in 2021. Well, not 20, us living here now in 2021, we're not born now, but you get what I'm saying. It's like there, we're living with, within the legacy of really complex, negative impacts that humans have caused. And it's, so I think it's,
but I think
what were you gonna say?
I mean, like, because we also have to understand that we're always, we're living in a capitalist, speciesist, anti-black, white supremacist system, and within that system there are things that you can do to reduce the amount of harm that you are responsible for. And I think that veganism is one of those things. It's not, and I don't think that it negates or can like, at this point, does it offset what other people are doing?
Or does it offset history?
No, especially
because it's all about, I think, trajectory, right? It's where you want to go with the information that you have. But that, again, I think is why a lot of people maybe don't actually lean into veganism or understand it as like an ethical or moral stance, because we haven't actually gone, we don't promote currently a sort of ethical relationships with animals and non, like both humans and non-human animals, as like a staple or like a, I guess, a point of our development, especially from like early education, childhood education. Like that's just not something that we focus on. And so it's like, how can we, not necessarily how can we expect people to like have a full comprehension of the ethical implications of veganism, but it's it's more so like, how do we go about actually encouraging that, right? It's like, because it's so complex and so large. And so it's like, well, maybe one of the ways that we could do this is by developing ethical relationships with animals that don't have like, or just understanding that
I there's- think, like, I think one way to do that is to refrain from single use, like single issue activism within veganism, because I think that like once you can see how other systems of oppression are linked, then you can sort of like complete the picture with speciesism. And I think that for me, at least, I was like really like I had to go vegan because it just didn't make sense for me to be like fighting for human liberation and being like, none of us are free until we're all free. And then sitting down to a meal where like, this is not okay. Like this individual, was an individual, right?
Yeah.
Or came from an individual in the case of like, if you're eating dairy or eggs or what, like other animal secretions. And mm-hmm. I think that having like an intersectional approach to liberation and to anti-oppression is a way to sort of incentivize people to make those connections.
I also think it's risky, but it's also enough. I do think it's risky. I do think it's necessary.
Yeah.
But I also think one of the ways that we can at least have, like, we have to be really honest with ourselves, right? And understand that a lot of us are operating with a very speciesist mentality because of the way that we were raised and because of the way that society works. And so I think that in order to combat that speciesism that's sort of baked into us, we need to not only, take a more intersectional lens when it comes to understanding like human issues and the human element of animal exploitation and the history of that and the different nuances around that, but also looking at it from the non-human perspective as well.
But that's
and
the intersection of it, no?
Exactly. I would say, but no, I think that you can have intersection with looking solely at within human communities. But I think that in order to brand that and make it actually more authentic, you need to look at how you have developed relationships specifically with non-human animals. So like looking at how you engage with learning about other species and the information that you hold, like just as an individual about other animals, I think can do a lot to breaking down that speciesism that we are like just taught from a very young age.
Yeah, that's a way to break down speciesism. Yeah.
Which I think if we are recognizing that speciesism is like sort of the backbone of why.
But then you also have to
don't recognize veganism as like a valid thing or like are confused by it or like or maybe
think that even in encouraging people to acquire that knowledge about certain animals and like develop relationships with like animals in their environment, you have to make it palatable to them within a speciesist context, in the sense that like you have to make it so that it's like either you're talking about animals that are cute or animals that are like that they already have a certain level of like interest towards, in order for it to be palatable and for people to be like, oh yeah, I do want to learn about this animal, or I do want to learn about this information. Because you're still working with someone, you're not necessarily working with people who have a like equal care consideration for animals across the board.
Yeah,
so like that's also a concern. But
I think though, not necessarily, I get your point though, and like the kind of bias insert of how we get this message across in breaking down speciesism through animal education, I guess you could say. But it's also like, we could maybe just look at it more macro and be like, if we just look at ways in which different animal communities reflect our own communities and our own aspects of communities, I think it then creates that connection
and that sense of
introspection, right? Because it's like, if you're looking at human society versus like, not versus, I don't like to put it as a comparative, but like if you're looking at human society and then you're looking at like the society of bonobos, right? That's like, okay, well, human society is like patriarchal, white, cis, heteronormative, and very problematic. Mm-hmm. Then you have bonobos who are like matriarchal. They are like polyamorous, they're open, they can use tools, they have developed culture. Like there are so many different aspects about that society that we can look at and be like, there are ways in which we can arrange ourselves reflected in the natural world that currently break down that idea that we are somehow above or better than.
I think it breaks down the idea for some people. For me, not at all. Like that's, I mean, cause like, I'm just very much like live and let live. I don't need to know the intricacies of your personal life or your like, in order for me to care about you or to like act in accordance with the belief that your life matters. I feel like for some people it can help bridge that gap, but I don't think that that is the case for necessarily like everyone, which is why we need different sort of like approaches to incentivize different people to go vegan. And there is no sort of like one way to advocate for veganism, but I think that we can both agree that apolitical like activism or single issue activism is definitely not the way to go about it. Yeah, I just like don't want to sound like an asshole, but I feel like I will regardless of how I communicate this because I'm me. But oh my god, that smile on your face. So yeah, I've like written about the difference between plant-based and vegan. Veganism being an ethical sort of stance on animal liberation, on anti-oppression. It extends to more than just your diet, right? Because systems of oppression are not just like factory farms, but they're also zoos and they're also sort of like animal testing and that kind of stuff. And when you can avoid purchasing products that were tested on animals, you should.
It's zoos, but it's also, it's deeper, right?
It's deeper than that, yeah. Do you want to go on about that, dude?
Well, no, I think I'll let you go finish.
Okay. Yeah, whereas like a plant-based diet just defines a diet that is based off of plants. And there are a lot of people who, typically people who are plant-based do it for either like health or environmental reasons. And because of that, you can consume some animal products without it, again, having a detrimental aspect or impact, sorry, on your health or on the environment. But on an ethical front, like it just doesn't stand. Like there are people who, you know, claim to be vegan, but then when they travel to other countries, they're like, oh, well, I'm vegan except for when I travel. And that notion is not, because like your moral compass is still, or should still be intact when you're in a different location in the world. And, but if you're following a plant-based diet, then there is some level of flexibility there and you could perhaps consume animal products and still adopt a plant-based diet. But if you're vegan, it just doesn't, it goes back to the definition or the part of like possible and practicable. I don't even know how to say that. Is it practicable or practicable?
I don't know.
We'll say practicable. And so when you're traveling to another place, it is possible and is practicable for you to research.
Practical.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, practical for you to... Is it?
I think it's practical.
Because the definition of possible and practicable, like in practice.
I think it's practical.
Really?
That is...
Look at that. Yeah. So it is possible and practical for you to... For you to Google a vegan restaurant and in the country that you're in or in the city that you're in. So, yeah, I just feel like...
But then also, like, I guess in the ways that it is deeper, right, is, like, if you're traveling not for tourism, if you're, like, out here doing some sort of work or, I don't know, something comes to mind where you're, like, doing maybe, like... community-based work with like indigenous communities or working somewhere else. I think like where you're
in a remote area where you wouldn't have access to plant-based foods.
Yeah, then or that, alternatives. Yeah.
Yeah. Then in that case, if it's not possible or practical for you to consume plants instead of consuming
it's not
animals,
like,
then
die. That's
yeah,
not what we're saying.
That's not what we're saying.
Especially
yeah.
if like the work you're doing is like to benefit other people.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I think it's, yeah, in the ways in which it's deeper and the way in which it's complex, I think there gets a lot of confusion around it too. And that's why you have people who like use the term veganism so interchangeably with other terms like flexitarian or vegetarian.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know what the
right?
term flexitarian
like,
means.
Okay, well, the term flexitarian just means like you are committed to a reduction in your consumption of animal products, but you are flexible in the products that you consume. So it's like...
Why is there a term for that, though? Why is, like...
I think
anyone could argue
I think
that
a lot
they're...
of people wanted to do it as a term of, like, trying to... I think it came out of the environmental sort of side of it. I think a lot of people were like, hey, it's, like, a little nod to the fact that I'm conscious, like, the climate is changing. And I saw that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, and... you know, I should reduce my animal products, # flexitarian.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not a dumb idea, because, like, when you think of it, like, I've read that per weight, cheese is actually more detrimental to the environment than, like, chicken. And so if you're someone who's in it for the environment and you're, like, I'm vegetarian, but you're consuming like enormous amounts of cheese. And like, is that like actually,
I think it also applies to the fact that there are, it's flexible in the sense of like your reasoning too of what you're eating. So it's like, it maybe not just be environmental, but I hear from a lot of flexitarians a lot too. They're like, well, I don't like food waste. And so I'll like take home the pepperoni pizza from the party. Yeah, freegan also. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's like, actually more the term.
Yeah, people being like, I won't purchase animal products, but if I find them, then I'll...
Or if I go somewhere and they're like serving this is what I'll eat. And it's like a very passive approach to
veganism.
To morality.
Yes, yes. And I think, so like my issue with that, because I know a few people who like, I think they're like plant-based and they're super sustainable and all that stuff. And they do like... dumpster diving and like get like whatever products that they find, and some of them are like animal-based products and they'll eat them. And I think it's like cool in terms of like for like a sustainability sort of front, but you can also donate those products or in situations where it's like you're going to a party or if you're like in, especially like social gatherings or whatever, this idea that like, well, if the food is there, I'm just gonna eat it. You miss out on the opportunity to discuss about what like veganism is or about like animal rights and all that stuff because you're complicit in that system for that time. And I feel like that causes way more confusion to the people around you who are not like in the vegan, vegetarian, whatever world, because to them they're like, oh, didn't you call yourself like vegan last week?
Yeah.
But now you're out here eating chicken with us. Like, so do vegans eat chicken? And then it sort of reduces it to a joke,
diet,
in my
also,
opinion. Yes.
Reduces it to food a lot.
To food a lot. Yeah. Because people don't seem to make those same concessions when it comes to other things. It seems as though it's just like when it comes to food. But I know maybe not though, because I know that some people like secondhand leather is something that like maybe could be discussed, but.
Well, yeah. Thrifting too. In general, it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what we're really hitting, what we're kind of actually dancing around, is the complexity around veganism. And I think one of the really interesting conversations that comes around this, at least that we have seen, is the conversation around veganism and companion animals.
Mm.
Do we want to talk a little bit about that in the sense that I think similarly to individuals who are like working with wildlife to like improve these communities, it's like, or how you are like, or pets, it's like there are ways that we can develop relationships with animals that aren't inherently exploitative. But it's also, I think maybe in the sense it's like, if you do look at it from a more macro sense, it is exploitation.
Yeah, because
it's non-consensual to a degree.
Yeah.
But that also, like, why you have to then apply your intersectionality to veganism is because you can't take away the human element.
Yeah.
And so we're currently living in a world, right, where we as humans haven't even dealt with the ableism, the racism, the legacies of colonialism and white supremacy that are baked into our social, our economical, our environmental, right, systems.
Mm-hmm.
And we have consequences of that for humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes how solutions manifest is by developing relationships with non-human animals, but it's like, I don't think,
such as guide dogs.
Yeah, dogs, or there, I think there are, especially when it comes to looking at like disabilities and looking at how relationships form for managing them. It's like there are, if you're about to get a seizure, I know that there are some dogs that are able to like alert you of when you're getting a seizure or when your blood sugar levels are dropping too much, or if you're, when you're about to have like an anxiety attack or when you're about to faint.
Mm.
So which are things that literally have a direct impact on you as a human, your individual health. Right. And it's like, I think understanding that doesn't mean that you're not vegan if you have a companion dog or if you have a relationship. I think that if you're
exactly,
yeah, it's like, we have to understand the realities of the world that we're living in
and
the legacies that we humans have created for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
it always goes back to like as much as possible and practical.
Yeah. But
there are a lot of like animal rights groups that argue that guide dogs aren't vegan.
Which is ludicrous.
Yeah.
It's absolutely
very
ludicrous.
Ableist.
It's very ableist. Yeah. it's also, it's problematic on so many fronts. It's like labelism, yes, but it's like, you're just straight up ignoring history. Mm-hmm. You're also straight up ignoring like how we have developed physical aspects of our shared landscape. Like, it's specifically in urban areas, specifically in, not even just in urban areas, but, like, how we, in every aspect of our human sort of social society, like, technologies that we've developed, like, tools, like, for transportation, getting around, like, it's, like, there are so many things that you're literally ignoring in that it's, like, what? Do you not understand how all of these things connect? And how none of these things were designed with people who traditionally are excluded, those are disabled people, those are Black and Indigenous communities, those are poor communities. Like, it's like looking at how the legacy of exclusion forms the reality that we live in right now. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you're just completely ignoring that. And but like I think telling people who are living in this reality right now, it's like, oh, you actually have to just play by the same rules. It's like, no, well, you're not recognizing
history. It's just ahistorical as a stance. And I feel like any veganism to me that like boils down to like rules or like this, because like the working definition of veganism already tells you sort of like what is and isn't vegan within what is reasonable and what is accessible to you. But saying things like, yeah, guide dogs aren't vegan is, yeah.
It's
so problematic because it's also like, where do you shop? Like, where do you, because the grocery store that you go to, right? Is it a vegan grocery store? Are you working in an anti-speciesist economy or system, right? Like, no, we're actually working, like we're working in the real world right now. And I feel like a lot of people who make up these rules are trying to push for this agenda that is very, void of the notion that is white supremacy. Like, I've seen people say things like, oh, this is human supremacy.
I almost think it's a symptom of white supremacy.
It is. But, like, I find it so unnerving when people are like, oh, well, this is, like, human supremacy. Like, factory farming. And I'm like, no, actually. Like, this is a direct result of colonization and white people's need to greed and fucking strive for profit and for, to the detriment of literally everyone involved, like the environment, like we're just going through even currently.
But I think it's also like, we need to make a point too. It's literally not just the history that's being ignored. It's like the right now, the current, the present lived experiences of people who are literally telling you to listen to me, right? Listen to what I need. Listen to like, this is what are you even listening to the people who can't be vegan right now, telling you what are the barriers to them being vegan, understanding those, understanding what barriers have been designed, deliberately put in place, like vegan, like under white supremacist capitalist design, right? Under that system of exploitation, right? There isn't an inherent space for learning about veganism, in practicing it, in having conversations. So obviously, like, you need to have an understanding of what's being lived by people right now and understanding what's forming their relationship currently with animals and non-human animals.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, ultimately what is like a better tool, I guess, towards like understanding, not necessarily understanding veganism, but like.
But I think that's the gag, because those people are not, they're not vegan because they want everyone to be free. They're vegan because it gives them a sense of moral superiority. They're now put in a position where they can belittle other people's actions and sort of police what is and what isn't vegan.
That is a gag.
That's like classic white veganism, like in action, right?
Which is a gag because it's also like they're ignoring their own lives in
their
that
own,
ability.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
you, because it's yeah. either two, it's one of two people that do this. It's either people who literally like you became vegan at some point in your life, therefore you were doing these same things before you went vegan and you're completely ignoring your own legacy and contribution to animal exploitation, yet you're sitting on your ivory tower claiming you love elephants. Then there are the other type of individuals who are like, well, I was vegan since day one, born into a vegan household. It's like, okay, well, what levels of privilege, what layers of accessibility have you yet to even unpack or understand that you have,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Before you start also sitting on Police your ivory anymore, tower, yeah. tower claiming you love elephants. It's like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't yeah. make sense. You can't be here being like...
But I think it's because people's veganism or their activism is always sort of just informed on their own experience or their own sort of like little world and what they've seen and what they know. And it's very limited because a lot of people are very entrenched in white supremacy and have yet to check all of the different systems of like harm that they engage in and the sort of violence that they impart on other people without even knowing it, right? And also without being willing or able to talk about it, because as soon as you bring it up, it's like, oh, no, this is about the animals. No, I'm a nice person. I'm a nice, like, there's just so much like fragility. There's so much ego there. There's just a lot to unpack. And so, but I think that it's so funny. I like actually made a TikTok about like the three different types of vegan. And the second type was like the white vegan TM, like what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
And so many were like I'm a yeah, vegans, exclusionary yeah. veganism. And they're like, yeah, like I'm a type two and I'm proud. And I was like, okay. And literally they're
biased. That's like the TikToks you come across where people, yeah. like white people be like, I woke up today and chose violence. I'm like, y'all really be telling on yourselves.
Yeah.
What is with this delusional, yeah. self-indulgent attitude
yeah.
towards this very sinister freaking display of a yeah. lack of intersectional consideration
yeah.
in just not only humanity, but like just non-human perspectives yeah. and just how the world actually works. It's like, that's the gag-a-roni. You woke up today yeah. and chose to tell on yourself.
Yeah.
I can't understand, especially people who take that position, who are like, I'm an aggressive vegan and, you know, I just make no space for it whatsoever.
I'm like, what? The problem is that these people think that they are doing the most for the animals. And they're like, I'm the only one. And it's like, animals don't
That's
fucking
the
care.
That's
they don't care
They'll
how you advocate.
Oh my God.
Like, as long as people are incentivized or are reducing their total or aggregate consumption of animal products and divesting from those systems in some way, that's making a difference, right?
Yes.
And this idea that it's like, no, you have to be vegan. I'm like, you're just pushing away so many people. And then you're also making all these rules being like, oh, well, having a guide dog doesn't make you vegan, and doing this and doing that doesn't make you vegan. It's like, it's not this like holier than thou exclusionary fucking cult. That's not what veganism is about.
No, but people will hear this and then will be like, well, didn't you just say that there's a difference between veganism and vegetarian and flexitarianism?
Yeah,
that's like, yes, yeah. there is. But why we bring that up, why we are even having a conversation around veganism is because yeah. there is so much misinformation, miscommunication about
and
veganism
confusion,
and
yeah.
confusion around it. Words matter. Language
Words
is important.
Matter.
They
yeah.
mean things. Currently, as I said, last episode or one of the episodes,
yeah.
none of us, at least, I'm not telepathic. I can't just instantly understand everything you need me to understand in a situation. So we use language to do so.
Yeah.
Like words mean things.
Exactly.
Right? You can't. So you, understanding how veganism, vegan, that word differs from flexitarianism, vegetarianism. Like, we're
a
not saying that
diet,
these things
yeah.
in and of themselves, those
don't
categories don't
yeah.
make a difference, or you're not on your own vegan journey, or you're not contributing. It's
yeah.
that's not what we're saying.
No,
like, you have to understand that this isn't about gatekeeping. It's not about making veganism exclusionary, right?
Yeah.
It's just about clarifying,
yeah, and labeling yourself accordingly. Like, I saw,
yeah, being honest with yourself,
exactly. And
right?
it just leads to so much.
And that
yeah.
people lie to themselves every day that ends with why. They literally will be out here, handmaidens of Satan, like, not knowing anything. But the gag is, they'll say, oh, vegan for the animals. Then you'd be like, okay, well, what's one means of nonverbal communication from this animal? They're like, no. So
you don't even know
animal
cognition in order to divest from systems of
oppression. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying
what
you have
you
to
saying?
Know animal cognition to from systems of oppression. I just think it's a gag that so many times you'll have conversations, especially when it's like vegan for the animals, but you don't even know how that animal or any animal communicates or can communicate with you.
Oh,
you
you're
even
saying
know
like
how
type
to, like,
two vegans, like,
yeah.
like veganism TM.
Yeah, but also just in general, like when people, even when you have it like coming from like this farmer's perspective of being like, oh, well, like I have a small farm, and it's like, none of these communities know how, on a species specific level, what are nonverbal means of communication, what are verbal means of communication, what are hormonal signals, like what are the different ways in which this animal can communicate its different emotional states, its different like physical states. How do you actually then interpret that? Are you interpreting that? Like, do you like, are you engaging with these conversations? No. Are you doing this for all the species that you're allegedly trying to like claim you are here for? No. So then how are you out here trying to tell Mr. Cow and Mrs. I don't know why I'm gendering these animals, but why are you out here trying to be like cow and pig behind you being like, I stand for you. Cow and pig are out here behind you being like, can you move? Actually, can you put on some deodorant? Actually, can you wash your legs? Actually, can you season your food, please? You're not even listening to the cows and the pigs, but you're out here being like, yeah, I understand. It's for the animal. Like, that's what gags me and why I'm so like on the wildlife communication, animal communication front. Cause it's like this gap, this cognitive dissonance that I even see within the vegan community of like how you are even having these conversations, but you don't even have like, I don't want to come off of, like, as elitist. Like, you need to have working knowledge of all these different animals, but it's like, the fact that you aren't even interested in looking at how other animals just interact with the world and move through life. Like,
some of us aren't doing our master's in animal cognition.
Okay, but I don't think you have to be doing a master's in an animal cognition to like be like, oh, I care about how a cow experiences life. Oh, I care about how a dog experiences, right? And it's like,
and
again,
and if you're someone who is into that, please check out Zabuma Foolish, which is Jalen's podcast.
You don't need to plug it here.
Why not?
I don't think this is a space for it.
You don't think this is, why not?
I don't know. I just don't think it is.
I'm not gonna, okay, I could cut it out if you want, but.
You can leave it in, I just don't, it's fine.
Okay.
Let's move on. I actually did
want to talk about sort of like the labeling aspect, because I think there was something that like really funny that happened to me also on TikTok. So there was this person who made a video about eating, like loving to eat like conchas with their coffee in the morning. So they're like, yeah, I'm vegan, but sometimes I like to have like these pastries that are like have milk and dairy in them. And if you're going to be one of those vegan that's going to tell me that I'm no longer vegan because of that, then you're just
ridiculous.
Gatekeeping. Exactly.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
And literally the comments were,
don't call yourself vegan.
The comments were literally a ton of pick me vegans being like, it's okay. You're doing your part. And it is okay that you want to eat this pastry that, and you can do that, but that doesn't make you vegan. Like, what the fuck about
and
possible
and
practicable did you
not
fucking
understand.
Get? And
it's also
intention.
Like,
it's intention.
Intention.
How am I going to sit there and be like, yes, yum, this is a treat.
This is the
like,
goodie.
This is not a treat.
This is
to
literally
me.
Death and decay, but yum, yum, yum. That's the gag. It's like no one's saying if you're actually out here accidentally consuming animal product or eating this thing, you're like, oh, you know, this Sunday I woke up and I had a croissant, found out it was butter. Don't come at me for it because I'm not vegan. Obviously, it would never come at you for not being vegan.
But
if you're telling me, if
you're
proclaiming to the world that you woke up and you're like, I chose death and decay today for my plate.
But I also want to call myself vegan.
Like,
no!
It's
no!
Not how that works.
That's not what that is. And like, to me,
you can't be vegan, but just recognize that you're not, like,
you're not
what
that
is. It's not what it is
at all.
You're on your way. You're making your journey. Okay.
Yeah.
But recognize you're still waking up with the decision to choose death. You're still
when you
leading
could
towards
not, right?
that when you couldn't.
Exactly.
When
you could choose not to. And it's like the fact
that you're vegan
that you see
Monday through Thursday and then Friday through Sunday, you're like, hashtag, I'm handmade and
unsated.
I cannot.
Yeah. To me, it's also the fact that like you relish in these products. Like you're like, you see this as a treat. Like to me, I wouldn't be able to like turn that brain off in my, that like switch where it says like, yeah, this comes from, like, this is an animal secretion, like, all of the things that go behind that. But, yeah, so
well,
I made a...
Okay, that I can't speak to. But I think that comes with different, like, that's on an individual level. I think people are
I do have
wrapped in their own world sometimes. So a lot of people compartmentalize realities. A lot of people have
that's why vegetarianism.
Multiple personalities.
Yeah.
A lot of people have... Yeah, different. Yeah, there are reasons why people can have that cognitive dissonance.
That disconnect.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
that are those are valid reasons.
Period.
But understanding again, words mean
words do matter.
Language
how you label yourself does matter.
Important. Yeah.
And so I made like I didn't interact with that video because I didn't want to like bring more notoriety there, but I made my own. And then I was just talking about the difference between a plant-based diet and like being vegan, because whatever, we've discussed the differences there.
Yeah.
And then someone in the comment section was like, oh, well, I agree that like that is not vegan technically, but if they want to label themselves as vegan, it's okay. And then I was like, I literally said, put it on TikTok. So then I was like, they were like, yeah, I'm like, well,
how
language,
many likes this video has?
Like, I was like, language matters, which is why you label yourself accordingly. But they were like, yeah, language matters, but they're also just semantics. And I was like, okay, I literally said, okay, so I'm going to be white. I am white. But, and then they're like, well, you know, obviously not when it comes to, why when it comes to racism is different.
Exactly.
There are obviously, there are terms for, like, labels exist for a reason. They're like, oh, I guess you caught me there. And I was like, why are you trying to make a term fit to something that, like, why do we even operate with language?
That person is probably on that same wave of, like, transracial.
Yes.
Like, as a thing. It's like, no, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's not.
It's
labels are a thing. History is a thing. Nuance is a thing.
Yeah.
You cannot go out into the world and be like, this applies to me.
Yeah.
Unless you are
white you're living in your
and
own
very,
world, like,
if you're white, able-bodied, cis, hetero, usually man, then you know what? Chances are, if you wanted to hop on TikTok or social media and just claim this,
you could
probably get away with it. You could probably get away with it, because the gag is that is the legacy of white supremacy. It's set up so that you can go out, spew nonsense, and people would be like, yeah, that works.
Yeah.
That's valid. Right?
It's frustrating though that when it comes, like, everyone wants to be called vegan, but no one actually wants to go vegan. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just like, what's the hype?
And it's also
because also you think that we're assholes too.
It's not supposed to be
cute.
It's not supposed to be like fun. It's literally like, it's like when everyone wants to be an activist until it's time to actually do fucking work. It's like going vegan, transitioning towards a vegan lifestyle in a white supremacist, inherently capitalistically exploitative world.
Yeah.
It's not fun. It's not nice. It's not haha kiki. I get to realize like all the ways in which I've participated in exploitation for years. It's not haha hee, seeing in which the ways that the species I belong to collectively participates in such flagrant abuse.
Yeah.
On such massive scales. That's not fun.
And they're
it's
also,
not,
yeah.
There aren't fun, like, yeah, sure, it's fun to veganize food. It's fun to, like, learn how to, like, understand the, like, the, I guess, the consumption aspect of it for yourself. But when it comes to actually understanding, like, broadening veganism to the ethics, the moral implications of
like,
it, it's not fun. It's like, it's not cute. It's not cute. So being everyone wants to be like, yeah, I'm vegan, but it's like, okay, but that requires work. It also is a commitment. It's not something that's one and done. You don't just say it and it's like, okay, well, that's it. Because the way in which this world works, everything changes and evolves so quickly. So in the ways in which exploitation are shifting and evolving are also changing. Yeah. Like, we just found it out. Like, we were talking about this the other day. Animal products in Dijon mustard and, like, and sugar cereal.
Apparently,
you're like, what in the world? Animal products in, like, cinnamon French toast.
Ground
crunch.
Coffee.
It's like,
there are cockroaches apparently in ground coffee.
Okay, see, all of these things, right? We have to understand.
You're like, oh, I'm shit, like, I didn't know that.
See, well, I'm like, I don't drink coffee because it's like, as you can tell.
Yeah, you do.
I am barely a coffee drinker.
So you drink a little bit of cockroaches.
Okay, anyway, we're moving along. We're talking about the ways in which, yes, it is inherently baked into the system.
Yeah.
And it's not like a kiki moment to be like, oh yeah,
so
I'm learning these ways. Because that's annoying. Like, learning that ground coffee is not vegan, that's annoying to me. And the fact that
pre-ground
coffee. I can't do anything to immediately change the ground coffee aspect of it. I can change what I consume.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, the real aspects of this isn't like, ha ha ha.
Let's go into why it is seen as a ha 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 hee 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 moment. And I think that that's because of, so let me just go over the three types of vegans that I address, because I think that it is topical. So the type one vegan is a, like, pick me vegan, very much like, I love what you're doing. Like, anything you do is great. Like, just very like apolitical in their veganism, very just like eat more plants, but I'm never going to talk about like veganism as a concept. And I'm never going to encourage you to challenge your beliefs. So that's like the type one. And I think
to
that
be
because
fair,
of that.
Also to out myself, I was very much type one vegan for like the first year.
Oh yeah. I was like type two and then type one. And then I came to type three. So type two is like white veganism TM, like very militant, aggressive.
I think
like
I was
not
type
cute.
One and then type two, then back to type one. And now I'm like type
I think type three. I'm sorry, type three. I define it's like as Pokemon. Like. I don't even Fire know type. That. I don't even know that. But type three, I would define as people who don't necessarily like go out of their way to like put it in your face, but like if ever the topic comes up, well, we don't like coddle non-vegans and we just have conversations very earnestly. But yeah, I think that because of type one vegans, like the vegans that try to make veganism or plant-based eating palatable to non-vegans, in I think it's good because at the end of the day, I think there are a lot of people who are incentivized to sort of like reduce their consumption of animal products or incentivized to at least try more plant-based dishes and recipes. But at the same time, they don't do any work to challenge what that is rooted in or what their current sort of habits perpetuate, right? And so because of that, you think of veganism as this like cute, fun moment that you can then just claim this term without actually having to do any research about what it is and divesting further than just like making a few cute meals once in a while, you know? So I don't know, does that do more harm than good? Like I just, because I don't really care how people label themselves as long as at the end of the day, we're all collectively reducing our consumption of animal products, but it just so frustrating.
Yeah, I think big picture, yeah, it doesn't actually matter what you label yourself as. Yeah. It doesn't, but I think, and I do think it actually does kind of matter in the sense
in some cases,
that false labeling or that, not false labeling, but that, the disconnect that you have in your use of words has impacts for vegans, but I think those impacts are not only manageable, but they're like, they are very much coming from a place of privilege. Like, I think the only ways in which I've seen that manifest in my life is like how restaurants or how meals are prepared. Like, when I'm not preparing my own meals, how that miscommunication is perceived by individuals in that role.
Yes.
But that in itself is coming from a privileged position, right? I'm able to go to a restaurant and like have someone else prepare my food. It's like, that and again, sure. It's not, like, and again, that's not a non-issue, but it's like not, looking comparatively, looking at it in macro, it's like, is you false identifying as a vegan causing, like, looking at just having more, like, I don't know, understanding that it is an issue, but looking
but I
at
think,
it,
like,
putting
for
into
me,
frame.
I mean, into frame, but it also causes a lot of, like, emotional distress, I feel like.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't want to, like,
which then narrows that frame to you, which is also important. Right?
Yes.
Because it's your individual experience.
Your well-being.
And it's like,
So, I don't know. What are the other instances, too? I just think that generally, it just makes it so that people don't actually connect the dots thoroughly. Right? It just feels as though there are a lot of dots on a page and people are just like scrabbling everywhere. And it's fine to sort of, my journey towards going vegan was not linear at all. Like, it was very messy and whatever, we found our way. But it's like, I feel like people aren't even doing like they don't even know like the term speciesism, but they're calling themselves vegan.
Yeah.
Or they haven't necessarily, they don't understand how different systems are connected.
Yeah.
But they call themselves vegan.
But again,
right?
Having that
like, I just don't
approach,
know.
Like, not everyone needs to be an animal master in order to be vegan. I think it's like understanding that there are multiple ways to contribute to shifting collectively towards a less consumption as a society. So I think it's, I think it's complex too, because it's like, we have to have accountability, but we also have to be able to like, have
encourage
perspective.
People to do something.
Yeah.
I know, but I think that, what was I going to say about mislabeling? Okay, not necessarily mislabeling, but I think that people also take comfort in sort of labeling themselves as one way without necessarily doing more work. So like, for instance, when it comes to like being vegetarian, like a lot of people just swap their consumption from like flesh to like dairy and eggs and end up consuming more animal products on aggregate. But and like that to me is like very dissonant, because it's like, yes, cool, you're a vegetarian, that's great, but like if I actually look at what you're doing day to day, like, is this better than someone who is consuming, maybe is not even labeling themselves,
but
is consuming animal products more rarely?
And that,
why are we so tied to labeling ourselves?
Okay,
you know what I mean?
This is a byproduct of white, cis, heteronormative society, is when you have such a fixture on labels, when you have such a fixure on binaries, people want to be like, I need to identify, I need to put myself in a box, I need to have all these things that I can then clearly
weaponize and use weaponize, to kind yeah, of like
but lever- all, yeah, yeah, and yeah. also use to yeah. like distinguish and place you, categorize you yes. separate from others. Yes. But when you remove those labels, when you start to yes. see that there isn't a binary, there's actually a spectrum. When you yes. understand that you exist through that spectrum and there's yeah. fluidity in that, it's like, okay, work. There actually is some work involved. But it's so trivialized, and it manifests in so many different ways in our society, yeah. not only in gender labels and gender identity, but you can see it also in even just racial identity. People be like, oh, I went on to ancestry.com and I'm 1/800th black, but I have no idea who any black people are, and I will yeah. not do any of the work to learn about this history. It's like, okay, the gag is, but then you will then try and be like, oh, I can say the N-word now at the club. Like, what? It's like the ways in which this all manifests, it's very sinister, but it's all a byproduct.
How would you say the spectrum? Because like for me, the spectrum of like veganism would be like carnism to veganism. But I don't think that there would be any labels necessarily within it, because as we've said, like if you're a vegetarian, but like you've reduced your consumption of animal products to like once a week, then that is going to be lesser than maybe someone who even identifies as plant-based, but eats animal products like 3 times a week or twice a week, right? Like, so I feel like there isn't necessarily, I think that people also use those labels to sort of like, because I was pescatarian for a really long time, and I was like, I said that I was vegetarian because like that was like more recognizable as a term. Yeah. And I think it also made me feel better because I was like, oh, like vegetarian, like vegetables or whatever. Yeah. But I was still consuming like sea animals maybe like 2 or 3 times a week, which is like, yeah, and I feel like I did it so that I can feel better about what I was doing and it's sort also of like be a way able to leverage just, myself, right?
Yeah, feel better to leverage and also yeah. just organize yourself, right? In terms yeah. of like what we consider to be some sort of social hierarchy.
It's yes!
like this idea yes! of like, okay, yes. I can use this label to understand my position.
Yes.
And that label clearly identifies where I am in this sort of structure, but it's like, okay, it's the gag is this is actually not a structure, this is like a glass yeah. of water,
yeah,
and like it's where you could be, you're moving at different parts in it at different points yeah. in time, because yeah. guess what yeah. the gag-a-roni is, if like you're doing work in like
gag-a-roni, like, I'm dead.
No, it's like the gag-a-roni is if you like are traveling in a new country and you're yeah. you know, you go out to the club and then you come home and you're like eating something and then you find out the next day, oh, it wasn't vegan. Guess what, in that moment you weren't a vegan, you were a carnist, like, if that, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
in terms of like, oh, if you want to go by your labels and strict yeah. labels in order to understand this hierarchy, but it's like, no, like,
yeah.
understand that there is, because in of the nature of veganism and the nature of moving towards less exploitation, there yeah. is migration throughout that spectrum. But again, it's also confusing then, because people are like, well, then what is the importance of words? Why do you keep saying that?
Yeah, if, then like, why it's do all, you call yourself a vegan, and right?
This is, like, this is why I love talking about it. This is why it's so important to develop language and to develop new words and like to have these conversations around it and to clarify confusions around it. Because I think when it comes to like language specifically, I think especially the language that we use around veganism, it's not necessarily like new per se, but I think it's pretty restrictive in terms of, at least like in English, what we can use, the words at our disposal. So I think it's like recognizing that we can develop new words and new terms in order to explain ourselves better.
I feel like generally speaking, yes, but I think that in terms of like this vegan sort of like journey spectrum, carnist, I don't want to say nonsense, but like fluidity.
Yeah.
I don't think that developing new terms is necessarily, because I'm like, how, what would be the metrics of defining those new terms? Is it like based on the percentage of animal products that you're consuming? Is it based off of like the instances in which you would choose?
That's the gag. I think,
you know what I mean?
It's like, never, I feel like ever going to be like based in something that's like concrete. It's just going to be based in the collective held understanding of that word. It's like, okay, collectively we understand what this means and this is how we're using it, you know what I mean? So it's like, what does, if you were gonna even, I don't even know if they use the term flexitarian in like Europe, like if you were to like go, you know what I'm saying, it's like go to different places, like exactly, it's like
French,
and it's like, well, there's already restrictions of what we can say, right? So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know,
that's interesting though.
Yeah,
about language and stuff, I never even noticed that, like, why I was clinging on to those terms. because it did make me feel as though I was doing more than I actually was.
But that's so much.
Because I'm like, because like, girl, you were just, it was just carnism.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was.
From the, and it's, like, and like, any way you wrap it, but it's like, again, it's like, that's why it's not single issue. It's not individual action.
And it's a journey.
Yeah, exactly. It's a journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was not a smooth transition, but we have now entered into our favorite section. Read the receipts.
How do you know it's not going to be a smooth transition?
Because I didn't say we're now entering into read the receipts.
Like, on the last
before
one.
The cut. Yeah.
Wow, you really do a great job at this. Amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
anyway, insert read the receipt, intro music. Actually, before I start talking, is when we're gonna have to intro it. But let's just get into the segment. So, what is today's reading the receipts? Who's
gonna be read?
Who's gonna be read?
Today we are reading Miley Cyrus.
Come through, allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. we're not trying to get sued for anything.
Actually, no. Yeah,
I don't think Miley. Is
I don't think Miley Cyrus is her real name, like, so it's like it's fine, right?
Sure.
Right? It's like you can't, if, it's only if it's their real name. Like, I can't get in trouble for being like Mickey Mouse if I'm talking about the voice.
Why are you trying to, like, I don't know actor. If that's like copyrighted.
Okay.
I don't know.
Sorry. Mickey Mouse, Disney, this is not.
Did you just call Disney on the podcast?
Cut it. Okay.
So today we're gonna talk.
So why?
Cut it as though you're not the one speaking. Cut it.
Cut.
You talking to one of the people in your fucking ring.
Literally the sound boom exactly. In my head. Just be like, shh.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop being. Cut his mic. Cut their mic.
Right. So Miley Cyrus, why we decided to use her as sort of our
read the receipt
segment is that.
Well, for those who don't know.
Yeah. So. Who Miley Cyrus is.
Hannah Montana. She's actually Hannah Montana.
Yeah, that is who she is Hannah Montana. And
Miley Cyrus is her, like, you know, yeah.
Miley Cyrus is like her stage name,
like,
right?
Secret identity.
Exactly. Yeah. But Hannah Montana is like
actually who she really is.
Yeah, exactly. We think that we are the funniest people on earth. If you don't know who, like, Miley Cyrus is, like, you should just Google it. I'm not going to talk about that more, but, she was apparently vegan for 7 years.
Was she?
Yeah.
7 years.
And she was someone who was quite vocal about her veganism as well.
Didn't she, like, do all this stuff with PETA? Yeah. Like, covered herself in blood? Yeah. Like,
she was like
herself to someone?
Very, very that. And gave it up because,
allegedly, sorry.
Because her brain wasn't functioning properly. And so she needed fish.
Is this
of
the
course.
Tweet? Is this the tweet? Is this coming from Miley Cyrus?
No, that's she has literally said that. Like, okay. My brain was not functioning. She went properly. On Joe Rogan's podcast and sort of like talked about it. You can tell that it's also for clout. Like, why would you make such a public?
I feel like she was wearing like the dairy industry's earrings during the interview.
Yeah, she literally did a 180. As a lot of people who are in it for clout, like, always be wary of it, vegans who are just like a little too mouthy tend to switch up. But
we thought it would be a good example to talk about because I think a lot of this episode around veganism has been about clarification and having a conversation around language and terminology.
Yes.
And I think that when we have really prominent people like celebrities, i.e. Miley Cyrus, who's out here being like, I'm vegan,
JK,
using this
no.
term, then being like, JK, no. It's like, okay, so you have a very, I guess, confused understanding of what veganism is.
Yes.
To understand that, like, you could be vegan and also have health conditions
that you could remedy plant-based solutions.
But it's like, also just like, even if you couldn't, like, for whatever, I don't know, I'm not a doctor,
you don't have to go full 180 and start wearing fur and like,
and that's the gag, right? And you don't have to make this the crux of your communication to the public.
You don't have to go on Joe Rogan's podcast
and be like, hey, this is actually what I'm doing in order to move away. And it wasn't even like I'm doing this to have a conversation about veganism. It's literally like I'm doing this to vilify vegans. And yeah, it's just like, the,
exactly.
And again, the gagaroni is like a symptom of white supremacist delusion.
Yeah.
Look,
I think it's just people are chasing clout, right? And I think that someone like that, she made a very strategic decision to do what she did in terms of PR and stuff. And it has really unfortunate consequences to the vegan community just because we hold celebrities to these very high standards.
Oh, very problematic.
And
the way we set ourselves
celebrity
up
culture is just
celebrities do
there.
One thing, and it's like not only is it true, but it's more true than any science.
Exactly.
And it's
and
just
everyone
like,
just hops on the bandwagon. And yeah, so I think that celebrity culture in and of itself is something that needs to be sort of unpacked and moved away from because it's very dangerous. As people like Miley Cyrus, like, there are so many people as that I saw, this happened like a few months ago, so, but I saw a lot of people on social media being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she did this. Like, she has such a huge following. Like, what? Like, she's let us down, da da da. And
are
I'm like, y'all
dumb?
Have to stop thinking.
Have you not
thinking,
been watching? Y'all
you
have
to
been
stop thinking that people, celebrities especially, are not interested in gaining more notoriety
but,
or in enlarging their platforms or in appeasing to the masses in some way. I'm not saying that that was the only thing that motivated her to switch, but it's like,
but it
come on,
to
come on.
I feel like people don't even need to have, they don't even need to have that like macro perspective of like, this is what all celebrities do. It's like, just look at Miley Cyrus. Like, how the hell can you say with a full chest of air, oh, this is a surprise to me. Oh, I can't believe you would do this. Or in 2020, are we still doing? It's like, you sleep through every day that ends with Y if you do not understand in which, how she's, multiple red flags throughout.
Cultural
throughout the,
appropriation.
This, literally wearing black
A-B.
Culture and identity
yeah.
as if it were freaking outfits, being
yeah.
like, ha 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 ha.
It's cute when I do it.
It's very
yeah.
cute, right? And your flagrant disregard of black communities, black history, black culture, that's just literally your, like, people, like, members of your own species, and then you're literally, and then out here being like, oh yeah, JK, like, I don't even care about animals either. It's like, there are, and you're gonna be unsurprised? Unsurprised?
Yeah.
What were you surprised about? What,
there are a lot
how
of people...
were you surprised? Like, when did she surprise you?
Yeah.
You know? Like, at what point, and it's, and that's the thing too, is like, when you put, when it comes to celebrities too,
celebrities
when you put so
pedestal.
Many people on pedestals, it's like,
they're bound to fall.
It's not
They're
even just
fall.
That it's bound to fall, but it's like you don't engage with them in a critical way. You're not
yes.
actually like applying thought to what they say and their actions
yes.
because of the position that they occupy. And
but
again,
I think that that's
to
what
language,
a lot of vegans
words,
were worried
labels,
about. Because
right? It's like,
because they're like, there are millions of people who are looking at her in this way and then just associating veganism with that. And then just being like, oh,
and that's
shit.
The problem.
And that's the problem.
Which
but,
is a very real problem, again, to why
but also,
labels
like, is it
and
valid
language matters.
To, is it valid to be disappointed in Miley Cyrus for this? Because it's like, she was never responsible
I think it's valid
to communicate.
Okay, disappointment is like also a huge thing.
I hate that term.
It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
how can you be disappointed in me? Or did you birth? Like,
I know,
the,
I know,
how,
I know.
What
yeah, yeah,
gives
yeah.
you a, the position
yeah,
of power
yeah, yeah,
to
yeah.
be disappointed? Like, what does that even
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
But sure, we can't even talk about that because it's more so like, I think people can be upset about it. I don't think that, I think that going out of your way to tell me you're surprised by it just tells me how
you're
much you're paying
attention yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Or going out of your way to be like, I would never expect this.
Yeah.
Goes to, like, it just, when that type of language
yeah.
or framing is attached
yeah.
to
yeah.
your, not disappointment, but your, I guess, like, your, how negative you feel about
yeah.
it, right? It's just like, I am upset about this.
Mm-hmm.
You can be upset about something because it makes you upset. You
yeah.
don't have to be like, I'm upset about this and I never would have seen this coming. Like, give some weird reason
exactly.
that just highlights the fact that
you're asleep.
You're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that.
How did you feel about it?
When I heard this, I was very much like, meh, yeah.
I didn't even bat an eye. I don't think I was like, okay.
Because honestly, I really stopped paying attention to Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana. After Hannah Montana,
yeah.
the gag was I like because I watched that show.
I only knew Hannah Montana because of Miley Cyrus.
Oh my god, that's so funny! I like what you did there. But yeah, I watched that show, And then I was like, I got to the point, I think, where everyone gets to where they just like stop watching kids shows and start watching like
when
CSI.
When
does
that happen?
I think it's like 11 it's or 12. It's yeah, Stark. It's Stark. Like, it's like when they come home
it, like,
and it's all like American Horror Story. Like, I How to Get Away with Murder. It's like very much like all murder shows. Yeah. I don't know, but I watch like CSI and like Criminal Minds and all these shows. Like, literally, it was just
Criminal
one
Minds is the best.
And immediately then I was like, I have no time for Hannah Montana anymore. Fair. This is a very long tangent. Sorry, y'all, getting away. Long story short is I was not surprised because I stopped caring about Miley Cyrus a very long time ago.
Is there a celebrity that you look up to that is vegan?
A celebrity that I look up. See, this is the I was talking about this with another friend earlier this week.
Or do you like, even look up to celebrities?
I don't look up
don't.
To a lot of people.
Yeah,
and
oh,
the
people
in general.
Okay.
Which is weird. Like, and which weird. I do have like, I guess, human role models that I'm like, okay, this is I'm inspired by the
yeah.
work you do
yeah.
and have been able to do. But in terms of like, I also, like, I'm very critical of things and people, so I'm also, like, you know, no one's infallible. There isn't anyone who's
yes.
out here doing things without flaws, so it's,
yes.
like, it's very hard for me to, like, put people on that pedestal and be like, oh, yeah, like, I'm looking up to you. I do that sometimes with, like, non-fictional and, like, cartoon characters because that's how they're designed to be. They're
fictional
designed to be infallible.
Cartoon.
Fictional, sorry, yeah, fictional,
yeah.
like.
Cartoon
characters, yeah,
yeah,
from like worlds because they're designed that way. They're designed to be infallible. They're designed to be like,
wow,
look
you're
up
like,
to,
okay.
and it's like, and I'm not like out here being like, oh, I actually look up to you as like a role model, but it's like, I can see through actions that this person is doing in like this own little world. I can get inspired by that and be like, okay,
but
this
that
is cool.
character
but it's
was
not,
created by someone else.
But I think like, to be able to look up to something, it's like you have to recognize that like you can't. Live up to that.
As,
like,
yeah,
if
I don't think it's about living up
yeah,
to anyone because,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think we're all on
but
our
having
different
a
track
trajectory
and
forward, like somewhere to carry you. I think that's the point of having like role models.
No, I don't think so. Like looking up to someone, like they just like embody certain traits or certain characteristics that you value in a person, and you would like to.
I would just call that a friend.
No, like people that you don't know. Like
yeah, I would still call them a friend.
You would call it like a celebrity a friend.
Yeah, I would be like Rihanna's my friend.
You'd be like, I'm friends with Rihanna.
I wouldn't say I'm friends with Rihanna. That's different.
Wow. Wow.
Right? It's like when people say like...
A glimpse into Jay-Z. So you would say...
Like, I would say like all horses are my friends, but I wouldn't say I'm friends with...
How do you know that horses would want to be friends with you?
That's the gag. That's why I wouldn't say this horse is my friend.
Friendship is two-way. I think we have discussed this before on the
but
podcast.
But I think you can have an open mind and an open heart and just it will
you
come.
Be...
It'll develop. If you're like, if you just put it out there into the world, you're like, you know what? Obama is my friend.
Why would you?
That was a weird. That was a weird one. Yeah. Okay. I take it back. You know what? Brandy is my friend. You know, I haven't met Brandy, but I would hope that one day we could become friends. You know, she really did bits and bops in Cinderella. So, did you ever watch that?
I think no, I haven't.
You didn't watch the Black Cinderella?
No, I'm not really big on them. Movies
shows
and
stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. True.
We're
getting really off topic.
Really
here.
Off topic.
Why
I
get back to Miley Cyrus disappointment.
Yes.
Or not disappointment, but what we were talking
looking
about.
Up to celebrities.
Looking up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Veganism in general.
Was it surprised?
No.
No. Were you surprised? No.
No. And I think it's just dangerous to put
people on a pedestal.
Celebrities, especially. Like, I think that people who are talking about veganism, generally speaking, like, maybe you can sort of like have some takeaways from what they're saying, but. People who are, yeah, just celebrities are interested in clout and money and fame. Like,
but
to an extent. Like, not all of them.
Yeah.
I think there are other things, too. But, like, part of your job is literally to generate money.
I agree.
Like,
I agree. And I think especially from the Miley Cyrus example, it kind of highlights this interesting thing that we're seeing sort of across even social media where it's, like, not necessarily this clout chasing, but almost this like exclusive focus on just being like, oh, I'm vegan and only like showing like one reason or like just a food or just like one, like not having actual like an intersectional approach to communicating veganism or talking about it or displaying it. And so I think in that way, it's like so many people are able to put people on these pedestals because they simplify this issue so easily.
Oh, but that's why they're on a pedestal. Yeah, that's why they are also like so notorious too. Yeah. Is that like their veganism is very much apolitical.
It's very much single issue. Yeah, one issue.
It's just your diet and like caring about the animals and like whatever, but it doesn't actually, that's a really good point too. Oh, yeah, so you have to be critical about that.
Yeah, you have to be very critical about
it.
And that's why I'm very critical about not only like kind of my approach to veganism online, which is I'm still figuring out, but also just recognizing that it's like just because someone's online and being like they're vegan, that's not the end all be all. Like they're still a person outside of being vegan. And I think especially from what I'm coming, my mentality around it, right, is that like I'm working towards a world in which that this is like the standard, right? This is like the practice. This is like what is expected, right? And we've taken care of the infrastructure, the social aspect, the economic, the political aspects that are currently limiting everyone from going vegan, right? And so I think that if we can help to create that world, it's like then, okay, well, how can we operate in that world? And I don't expect people to be like, oh, well, just look at only my veganism or just like consider me only for my veganism.
Yeah, because I think like, for me, that's veganism is like the moral baseline.
Yeah, it's literally like
it's the conditions allow for it, right? And like, so then after that, what else
what are you doing? How are you engaging with your communities, with the world, with the environment? Yeah. Like, what is it in which, like, what are the other things? And I'm not saying that you have to be out here like
doing the most,
and getting education or going to school or doing this, but it's like you have to recognize that there are more to people than their veganism, and you should expect more from people than just veganism or from just like a shift towards less exploitation. Like there's a facet of things that we can be pushing for at the same time, and recognizing that like
it doesn't take away from each other.
It doesn't take away from
each other
either. But when we do only focus on these one things, it becomes so easy to just automatically start putting people on this pedestal and like this position of like
look at all the prominent white vegans that we've not named
on social
on
media
podcast,
right? We don't have receipts long enough to get into that.
Yeah.
But it's like you see how that manifests, and so
I feel like I have so much to think about, but I think this was a really good episode.
I think so too.
So there are a lot of ways that monetarily you can support the podcast, but the most important, I think, is listening in and sharing it with a friend or a loved one.
Just tell
rating
someone.
Rating it on whatever sort of platform
if
you're listening
into. If you like forums,
into.
You know, just Shit, dropping
we're supposed
it
to
in
announce
forums.
The winner of the giveaway today.
Oh, the winner is about to be announced after we read out this review.
So the review is entitled Love.
Does it sound like you?
You know what? Maybe. I love this podcast and the topic Sephora and Jay choose to talk about. Uh-oh. I listen on my daily walks and I have to try to stop myself from smiling so I don't look weird. Oh, well.
Aww.
Thank God for masks. Ooh, we love it. Okay.
Okay.
Not done yet. I'd totally recommend listening to this podcast if you want to feel like you're hanging with a couple of friends.
Oh. Okay, well, first off, to the writer of this, great use of words, love that. And do not worry about laughing or looking weird when listening to this podcast, because I be literally out here in grocery stores, on buses, walking down the street, just like breaking out into full laughter.
Fun fact, full actually, laughter. I can People always hear like, Jay before they come in the house. So I can typically...
that is actually rude.
What? It's not rude. I always... It was That's worse in the true. Other house. I'm telling you that I, like, half the time, 50% of the time, I either hear you singing or I hear you chanting.
That is not true.
It is true. Why are you lying?
80% of the time, I am sprinting to this door.
I hear you. Anyway.
Anyway.
So, yeah, no shame about, like, smiling publicly or laughing at the podcast. So,
And if you didn't write this, then you obviously aren't the winner. So, sorry about it. And if you did write this, then you know that you're the winner.
So, the Sammy, I'm dead. So the winner of the giveaway is Sammy. We will contact you via Instagram for, details.
Yeah, about your prize, Sammy. Very excited to send it down. I think Sammy is based in, maybe we won't disclose that information.
Yeah, let's not.
On the podcast, yeah. Actually. Yeah. Yeah. So just know that we will get in contact with you and we will be sending this your way.
Thank you so much to everyone who participated in the giveaway. We will have another one shortly, I believe, yeah. For 1K.
Won't be based in classist ideologies.
I.e. rating it on Apple Podcasts. It does help us out a lot. So, like, as much as this is, like, a giveaway to y'all, we're also just very grateful for the reviews that we have. And we will be reading them out on future episodes. So, yeah, thank you so much for listening and
this has been Goats and Oats with your host, Jaylen. Just call me Jay,
actually. So not your Jay.
Just call me Jay. I said it. Just call me Jay. This has been Goats and Oats with your host, you Jay. Can't stop. Pronouns even, they, them.
We
and,
do that at the beginning of the episode.
And it's also good to do it at the
yeah,
end.
You're right. Zipporah, pronouns she, they.
And where can they find you, Zipporah?
So you can find me on Instagram. I am Zipporah the Vegan. That's probably why you're listening to this podcast. So
wow. I don't contribute anything.
I literally just that's said fine. Or. No, and then you no worries. Like,
and you can find me, but you wouldn't because, you mean, you're probably here only for Zipporah, so.
Oh my god, you literally find, if you want, on that.
You can find me on Instagram, just at jaunting.j, but you don't know where he is.
You can also find me on TikTok, Zipporah the Vegan, or Clubhouse too, Zip the Vegan.
Yeah, I'm and not Twitter. On Clubhouse, I have an Android, so.
That sucks. Okay, bye! Bye!